Everyone, how's everyone doing today? Good morning, man. This is a great way to kick off the year. Good morning, everybody here. Good morning. Good morning to everybody in Charleston and watching online. And man, it's great. 2020's here and a new year, and it's a year to make choices and a year to really have that best year ever that we've been talking about. And I just think that it is really about choices. And so I know last week we talked about we're going to have prayer all month long in the mornings. I want you praying, whether it's here in Charleston or at home, but we are open in the mornings in both locations, and there's information about that. But that's awesome, watching people pop in and out and pray. The other choice you can make this year is a choice to be involved in a group. When you came in today, you got the group's catalog. Everyone would have got one of those handed to you guys, or when you came in. So if by chance you didn't get one, make sure to grab one. And choice, the choice of joining a group and being a part of a group is so critical, because we want to help you get from your rows into circles, because we know that real life change happens in that context of relationships. At the Fields Church, groups begin in February, so that's why you can begin to look through and see what opportunities there are, because they fill up fast. Groups do fill up. I can tell you that you will feel closer to God. You will feel closer to one another. You'll have that sense that I belong somewhere and that I'm known and somebody knows my name when I get into this circle. And you'll just grow in so many areas of your life. It'll feel so good to be engaged and a part of a group. And so all you have to do today is look through the catalog and look through the different opportunities. And there's a couple different ways that you can join a group. One is you can go out into the lobbies. The lobbies of both locations is a station where you can talk to someone about groups and they can help you sign up. Or you can get on your phone right now, or you can get online later, and you can sign up online at thefields.church, and you can do that today. And the sooner you do it, the better, because some of these groups do have capacities because of room sizes and houses and stuff and restaurants that only seat so many people. So you'll want to make sure that as soon as you make that decision that you can sign up and register. So you do not want to miss groups. We continue to grow in groups, and people talk all the time about how good it is to be connected and engaged with some other people. As iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another. It's so good to be together. And so make sure to check out groups. So we are heading into this new year, 2020, and it's that time of year where we can just sit back and go, can you believe that we are here? We've come across the new year. And then how cool is it that this particular year is 2020? So I'll switch this.
This is 2020. I'm Barbara Walters, and this is 2020.
This is 2020.
Oh, you nailed it.
This is 2020.
This is 2020.
This is 2020.
This is 2020.
Make no mistake. This is 2020.
This is 2020. Do I get the job?
2020.
This is 2020.
In 2020.
Welcome to 2020.
So welcome to 2020. So now it's January is a great time for all of us to like kind of re-engage in developing our lives. And it's just natural. It's like we see it on TV and commercials and everything. It's like if you're wanting to go from current reality to desired outcome, like January seems to be that time. And it's spiritual too, and it's biblical that we're always trying to grow and develop. We kind of have a theme verse this series, and it's looking at Jesus actually, where, you know, last month we talked about him being born and all about Christmas. But then in Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says this, that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all people. And you're seeing that Jesus developed in these areas. He grew mentally with wisdom. He grew physically in his stature. He developed and he grew in his favor and his relationship with God and with other people. And what we see is he just kind of developed in all areas of life. He continued to grow. And that you and I, we need to continue to grow, that we should always be growing in a healthy, anything healthy is growing, and we need to be growing, and we need to be growing in our mind, our wisdom, and all those things, but also, and it says that he grew in stature, and our bodies are body, mind, and spirit. And if we are made up as body, mind, and spirit, then God cares about all those facets of life, our body and our mind, our spirit, and who we are. And so today I want us to talk a little bit about how God cares about our bodies, our healthy bodies of who we are. He's given them to us. He created us with this body, this skin, this flesh, this bones, these muscles, and he cares about those. And some people already in the room are just rolled their eyes like, is he going to talk about, you know, how much weight I should lose or how much exercise I should do or whatever? And I know always there's a little bit of pushback. You see this in the exercise world. And there's those people who run a lot. I don't run at all. I don't, the running's hard. But people who run a lot, they run these things called races, and then there's these things called finish lines, and then when we hit the finish lines, there's this achievement. And there's some people who go for like big races. And so if you run 13.1 miles, it's called a half marathon. And then a lot of these people get this little sticker and they put it on the back of their car. And they're like, I've ran 13.1 miles. But then there's the crowd that's like, oh, I can one up that. I'm not going to just do half a marathon. I'm going to do a full marathon. And so then they run a full marathon, which happens to be 26.2 miles. And then they get their sticker from their little running store. And then they put it on the back of their car. And so they have 26.2 stickers. Then there's those people who go, 26.2. They're like, that's just a marathon. What if you also bike? And what if you also swim? And what if you do this thing called an Ironman? And what if you do everything that takes 140 some miles? And so they get a sticker that's 140.6, and they put that on. Those people, these guys, they tattoo themselves and everything. They're like, I am very proud about this. And so they do that. And then there's the rest of us that's like, yeah. So we go to the running store because we push back a little bit on this, and then we buy this bumper sticker. We're like, this is what I do, is 0.0. Like, you're like, in other words, you're saying, I really don't care how much you're running, and I'm just like, I don't want to hear about it anymore. And I realize people are here like, I don't really want to hear about that right now. I don't want anyone talking about the body side of me, even though we've been created of body, mind, and spirit. When we come to church should be about the spirit side and the mind side, but leave that body stuff out of here. And I want you to know that today is not like, how thin can we get? Let's get to a place where we could slide under a door wearing a winter coat, you know? It's not, I'm not talking that, you know? That's not what we're doing here today. I want us to realize that God cares about our physical life. I want us to care that God cares about all areas of our life. But we're talking like, for you guys, that's like our stress levels, our rest. What are we putting into our bodies? What are we putting into our bloodstream? What are we putting into our mind? What are the things that we're doing to our body that affects our brain cells? Do we exercise because our heart matters, and God created our system to be so complex that he wants you to have a healthy heart. He wants your cardiovascular system to be healthy. He wants your lungs to be healthy. And so all of those things really do matter. And today's not going to be a health course. It's going to be a moment to be encouraged that God cares, and he cares about you. I don't want anyone walking out of the room today being discouraged. I want everything to be about being encouraged that God cares about you. He cares about every area of you. King David was grasping this. King David is understanding like the relationship between him and God, and that God cares about all of his life. And then he writes this down. David wrote a lot of poetry, and the Psalms is a lot of just poetic writings. And one of the things that he wrote is something that you probably are pretty familiar with, is Psalm 23. And it says, the first part of this says this: the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows, and he leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths. He brings honor. Bringing honor to his name. And you see this relationship that King David, who's this warrior, this leader, this king, and he's like, he goes, I'm a sheep and God is the shepherd. And he starts to talk about the role of having somebody guiding him in life and having God as someone who's the shepherd leading him, because the shepherd knows better. I think we need to understand that God cares about you. Now, we'll read the rest of the psalm even next week. We'll dive into a little bit more. So we'll stop right there in the psalm right now and let's chew on what we've got here. And number one is this, that the Lord is your shepherd. And when I say that to you, I hope what's encouraging to you is you're not alone. And you don't have to figure this out by yourself. Your life, your body, how I live through this life, you don't have to figure it out all by yourself. The Lord is like, I'll be right there with you. And in fact, he goes, and I'm going to give you everything that you need. So the Lord is a shepherd that then he'll protect you. He'll care for you. He'll lead you down a path that you need to go down. He'll offer and provide things that you need. We have access to this resource called the Creator, who gives us all the care and the direction and the compassion and the necessities that we need. And we don't want to take that lightly. We don't want to say, oh, the church is just a Sunday morning thing, and then the rest of my life, it's on me and everything else I'm trying to figure out in life. No, he wants it to be a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing. He wants to shepherd us all the time so you don't have to live life alone. Having him lead you should be so encouraging. It shouldn't be like, oh, great, I got a boss and he's telling me what to do. No, he's saying, I've created everything so I can kind of help you figure this out. You shouldn't have to stress about it. I've got your back. So then he says this, and King David writes this down because it's so powerful. He says that the shepherd, well, he lets me rest in green meadows, and he leads me beside peaceful streams. And David is saying that the king, the shepherd, is leading me to a healthy place in life. He's leading me to this healthy source of green meadows and peace and rest and this water. He's identifying how the shepherd's leading him into better health, even for his body, even for his physical life. Let's talk a couple about some of these elements in this. Is number one is rest. He makes me lie down in these green pastures or these green meadows, however you've memorized that with whatever translation that you might be familiar with. But he makes me rest. He makes me lay down. He makes me get there, and he provides this rest for me. And this is King David, mover, shaker, warrior, and he's realizing God has to almost force me to rest and slow down. And King David is saying, I'm the sheep, he's the shepherd. I don't always know what's best for me. And I think he's helping us understand, maybe we don't always know what's best for us, and sometimes we have to step back and say, okay, God, what do I need in my life right now? What am I missing? What am I doing that is actually hurting my life, not helping it? What am I doing to my body that's actually hurting my body, not helping it? What am I putting into my body, my bloodstream, it affects my brain cells, all of this stuff. What am I doing to myself that actually hurts me, not helps me? And so King David was getting to he acknowledged that the shepherd will lead you where you need to go. In fact, sometimes he almost forcibly says, you got to lay down. You have to rest. And David was understanding the need for rest, and he paints this picture of these sheep laying in these green meadows next to this peaceful stream of water. And he's saying, our shepherd took us there. You know, will you allow God to take you there in an area of rest? Because you need help. I need healthy rest. You need healthy rest. It's the way we've been designed. God is the designer of life. It's his blueprints. He's created us to need to recharge our batteries. We have to rest. So here's a couple things you can focus on. Is number one is sleep. Like, we need sleep. Actually, you need 6 to 8 hours of sleep. Doctors will say ladies need 6 to 7. Guys, we need 7 to 8. I don't know. It just gives you a reason to sleep in a little bit extra in the morning or something. You need, you know, you can say, I need my 8 hours. That's why you need an hour nap today, you know, so to catch up. But no, we need to sleep. And sleeping is charging the batteries. Sleeping is helping us to get where we need to go. So some tips on sleeping is you need to plan your day and your schedule so you really can get 6 to 7 hours of sleep. If you stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning, you know you got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go somewhere. You're not even planning yourself for success. You're not even giving yourself enough time to recharge the batteries. And so you have to plan that way. You also, here's another tip, you can calm your brain down before going to bed. Like, so don't watch cable news right until you put your head down where there's two people hating each other and screaming each other, and then your blood begins to boil and you're like, okay, turn the TV off and I'm gonna go to bed. No, you're just gonna be, or watching some horror movie or some action-packed movie. No, how about read a little bit or put on some light music and just begin to settle down a little bit? Just for 10 minutes, just settle down, and then you'll sleep better. The other thing is, like, don't be consuming a bunch of things that are gonna keep you up, like caffeine, you know, late at night, and then you lay in bed and you're like, I gotta sleep, I gotta get up, I gotta get up, I gotta get up. And it's because you decided to go to Starbucks at 8 p.m. and get like a triple shot latte and whatever, and you thought it'd be fun and nice and it tastes good, and then you're laying in bed till 3 a.m. wondering, why can't I sleep right now? The other thing that could help is just consistency. Like, get yourself into a pattern of sleeping so you go to bed at the same time and you wake up at the same time and your body actually gets into a pattern of good, healthy sleep. So if one night you stay up till 2 a.m. and one night you go to bed at 10 p.m. and then one night you fall asleep on the couch at 7 because you're up till 2 a.m., your body is so out of whack, you don't get good sleep. And so God cares that we rest and he wants us to get good sleep. He also wants you to have some solitude. Solitude is this alone time. Like, we see Jesus get away from everyone and be alone with the Father. We see it all the time. We see Jesus sleep. He slept in the boat when there was a storm going on. So we see Jesus know that it's important to sleep. We see Jesus knowing that it's important to get alone and be by himself, be with the Father in some quiet time. This is prayer without hurry. Like, I'm a double tasker, triple tasker. I understand sometimes, like, I can pray to God, listen to the Bible, drive to work, and go through the drive-thru and drop something off in the mailbox all at the same time, and I'll just get it all out of the way. But that's not solitude. Like, it's okay to pray and drive and listen to your Bible and drive and do a couple things at the same time, but don't mark it down as solitude. Solitude really is, I need to find some quiet, me alone with God. And we need that. We've been designed for that. Jesus modeled that, to get alone and not to double task. You have to be intentional about solitude. Maybe you got to get up 10 minutes early and go to that chair before everybody else is awake. Or maybe you leave for work 10 minutes early, and when you pull into the parking lot, you have 10 minutes before you usually go in, so you can have 10 minutes in your vehicle in a parking lot before ever walking into the hustle and bustle. And so you have to plan and be intentional about that. And then not only sleep and solitude, but then the Sabbath. The Sabbath, we like to erase that out of our language. Like, well, we live in the United States in 2020, where there is no, like, Sabbath time. Like, there's no such thing as Sabbath in 2020. It's go, go, go. That's what 2020 is all about. But God shows and models the Sabbath and the creation of everything. And on the seventh day that he stepped aside and said, no, it's time to rest. And it's not because God needed rest. God's like, oh man, building this earth was really hard. I'm going to sit down and rest. No, it's like he's modeling it for us that the way we've been designed is, yeah, it's okay to work hard and diligently and have great work ethic, but then you set aside that time of rest. And Sabbath is pulling everything aside. And I've had one pastor explain it. It's having that entire day with no agenda except family time, fueling time, God time, something that's going to recharge your batteries. And setting everything aside so you can be recharged and refueled. And so usually that is unplugging everything and plugging into God and family and some close friends. Some tips on that is you have to have a conversation about the Sabbath. You can't not have a conversation at home about the Sabbath and then next Saturday you're going to decide to have one and you didn't tell anybody. And you're like, hey, no, I ain't doing the dishes today, honey. I'm on Sabbath. I decided to take the Sabbath today. I can't take the kids to school. No, this is a conversation of how does this look like in our home? How can we practice having the Sabbath? Another thing I think you need to ask yourself with the Sabbath is, why can't I? Because I think you've already in your mind told yourself why you can't have the Sabbath. And if your answer to why can't I lines up with Scripture, okay. But if it doesn't, which it won't, then you have to find out how you can instead of just telling yourself, I can't, I can't. The culture is saying I can't. 2020 is telling you you can't. But Bible and God and his model for our life is, yes, you can. You can. Some quick tips is, you know, put those phones away. Let the chores pile up that day because you need God time. You have to prepare for a day of Sabbath. Maybe that's already knowing kind of what the meals are the next day and what the agenda is. So if you just wake up as a family and say, we have nothing to do today and there's no, oh, it's just Sabbath. Just kids, lay on the couch for 12 hours. It's Sabbath. Like, no, now you're turning into like WWF, like wrestling guy. This is not Sabbath. This is me being a referee all day long. So you got to have some plan. And then I guess the biggest tip would be, hey, try it. Just do it. Try it. See what it would be like to actually have a conversation and a plan to say, let's try a day of rest with family, some close friends. What would that look like? And so not only did he say, I'm going to lead them to rest, I'm going to make them rest, I'm going to lead, you know, the shepherds leading him to rest. But then he goes on to says to King David, David talks about these green meadows and peaceful streams. What's that? Well, that's the nourishment for the sheep. He's saying, man, my shepherd is leading me to a place where I can have really good nourishment, these green meadows. In that culture, it was a desert region. It was the Middle East. It was green meadows were hard to come by. But God is saying, that's what you need, and you can eat in the green meadows, and you can have you can be hydrated in the peaceful streams of water. Something about sheep, if they're stressed out, even a raging brook, they get so stressed, and they just stand, and they won't lay down, they won't rest, and they won't eat. And so King David is saying, our God is someone who will lead me to a place where I can eat well and I can be hydrated and I can rest. These green meadows and these peaceful streams. We need healthy nutrition. Now, today is not a step-by-step how to have healthy nutrition. There's a lot of opportunities online. There's a lot of places you can turn to. I'm not here today to lead you down a healthy plan of day-to-day eating and hydration. I can tell you, though, you need to have a plan. And what we're putting into our bodies need to be helping our bodies, not hurting our bodies. And a lot of times that takes discipline, and we know that. We know that. The number one New Year's resolution is I'm going to lose 20 pounds. It's losing weight or getting healthy in some of this way. And so we know that. And because of that, then there's all these plans and there's ways to do it. But it's one thing to know a way to do it. It's another thing to follow it and to have some kind of discipline. But discipline actually pays off. And you and I know that if we get into the repetition of good choice, good choice, good choice, healthy habit, healthy habit, healthy habit, when we're in the repetition of these good habits, it pays off. But if all we do is see something and we indulge in the immediate and indulge in the immediate, well, then there's a lot of effects to that too. Let me say it this way, that healthy eating requires immediate discipline for delayed rewards. Indulgence has immediate benefits and delayed consequences. Why did I gain 20 pounds this year? It's because we wanted immediate benefits of that looks good, that looks good, that looks good, that looks good. You look around at someone who lost 20 pounds last year and it was because they had they put in immediate discipline for delayed rewards. It took them a while, but it worked. And so God cares about you, and he cares about your healthy outcomes. He cares about your future. So our future can be rewards of good health or delayed consequences of poor health. Either way, he cares about what the future looks like for you. He wants the best for you, and he wants to provide you a pathway to these green meadows and these streams of water because he cares about our future. And so today's not about guilt and shame. It's really about acknowledging that God wants the best for your life. He does. He really wants the best for you. He cares about you, and he cares about who you're becoming. And he also cares about the people around you, and he hears that you can make a difference in their life, and he cares about that. He wants you to have the best year ever. That's what we talk about, like that abundant life. He wants you to have this filled up, abundant life. The problem is our culture kind of goes against the abundant life God offers and just talks about a lot of superficial things. Let me say this, God's approach is the abundant life. A life full of God, full of joy, full of a life that you go, man, this is the way God designed me to live. This is good. The abundant life, that's God's approach. Culture and Hollywood, well, Hollywood's approach is about an artificial shape, an artificial life, an artificial, like it's only on what's on the outside that matters. And God cares about what's on the inside and the abundance of what he has to provide. The world around us, the culture around us, it's a little more artificial. And so if you and I want to have an abundant life in God, we need to realize that he can take us there. In fact, let me read it this way and say it this way. He wants to lead you to the health you need to live the life he wants you to live. He wants to lead you to that health so you can live that life. He wants to lead you to green meadows. He wants to lead you to peaceful streams of water. He wants to make you lay down and rest. He knows the importance of that. He's the designer. He's the blueprint maker. He's the one that created us this way. And the reason he created us to have a very healthy life is because while we live on earth, we have a job to do. And we're supposed to be a part of his kingdom and interacting with other individuals and always influencing others toward God and to do good things and to do great work. And so when you become a Christian and say, now I'm part of God's family and God is my leader, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, now he's in charge. Paul writes about this. Paul says this and explains it this way in his letter to the Corinthians. He says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Don't you realize that your body actually is the home, the house, the dwelling of God's Spirit himself, that he's given us our life so he can interact and live inside of us? He goes on and says this, you don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. And he says, this is so controversial and this is such a radical statement. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. And so the radical part of that is our culture over and over and over is screaming, it's your body, you do what you want. Don't let anybody tell you what you can do with your body. If you want that procedure, you can have that procedure. If you want to do that, you want to drink that, you want to eat that, you want to take that in, you want to inject that into your system, it's your body, you do what you want to do with it. And Paul's like, actually, when you become a Christian, it's not, actually, you've surrendered yourself to him. And actually, you're surrendering, it's not yours anymore to make those decisions. You're asking God to make them for you, and you're surrendering yourself to him. He bought you at a high price. He gave his son so you and I could have this healthy future, not just today, but into eternity. And we have to make sure that we're not just buying into the culture of, well, it's my body, I'll do whatever I want with it. But he said, actually, no, I created you because there's so much purpose in your life. It's not about the mirror. It's about the mission. That's really good. Write that down. I didn't have that in my notes. I expect that to be tweeted out and everything. I do have this in my notes, though. How about this one? We treat our bodies as instruments instead of ornaments. Ornaments is something that just looks good on the outside. It's about decoration. It's about, oh, how do I look? You're putting ornaments on your Christmas tree because you're like, oh, this looks good. Treat our bodies like instruments, not ornaments. Why? Because God's created you with purpose. God's created you to accomplish something great. God wants the best for you because he wants the best for others around you. He wants the best for your kids and your grandkids. He cares about you because he cares about how good of a parent or a grandparent or a great-grandparent you're going to be. He cares about the influence you can have with other people. Paul says this to the church in Ephesus, that you're God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus that we can do good things he planned for us long ago. This is spiritual, yes, because he created us anew in Christ Jesus, but this is physical too, because we have to do these good works. We have to do good things with people, and we have to impact people. And the only way you and I can be working and living an optimal life is that we have optimal health. And optimal health means that we can go out and accomplish an optimal mission. Let me say it this way, is caring for your body is caring for your mission. Now all of a sudden, it's not about me, is it? It's not about me, it's not about the mirror, it's not about a set of scales, it's about why God has me here. It's about the mission. He loves you so much, he wants the best for you because he also loves the person sitting next to you and the person in your house and the person down the road. Do we want the best year ever? We do. We want it for me, but I also want the best year ever for those around me. And so I need to set the pace, be the example, and be able to live out that mission God has given me. It's about taking the next best step so you can have the next best year ever. 2020 can be an incredible year if we just ask God, Lord, what's best for me? What are some tweaks I can do? What are some new habits I can develop? What are some choices I need to make today that is daily discipline today that will have a long-term outcome? That's so important. If we want a long-term outcome, it's the choices we make today. That's physically and spiritually. That's emotionally, relationally. We'll talk about that next week. But it's what's the next best step? You think about King David, and he wrote that psalm. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. So maybe for us in the room, it's asking ourselves, is the Lord my shepherd? Maybe your next best step is choosing Jesus to be your next shepherd, the shepherd of your life, the leader of your life, the one who's influencing you into the future. Is he your shepherd today? Is he leading you? He wants to lead you to water. He wants to lead you to green meadows. He wants to lead you to a life of rest and peace. He really wants you to lead you to heaven. He wants to lead you into eternity. And the only way you and I are getting into eternity is when we say yes to Jesus and have relationship with him. Do you have that today? Do you have that? Why don't you close your eyes and just think about that? Everybody, both locations, close your eyes for a moment. Is the Lord my shepherd? Is he my shepherd? Ask yourself that. Is he really my shepherd? Meaning, I really follow him. I am the sheep. He is the shepherd. He loves you. He wants the best for you. Receive that today. Embrace that today. And I want you right now to begin to ask the shepherd, the good shepherd, to come into your life and from today on lead you and care for you and give you the compassion that you need and the guidance that you need and the peace and the rest and the new nutritional plan of healthy living. Let him guide you today. Lord Jesus, be our good shepherd. Be our good shepherd. Be our good shepherd. Let's stand at all locations here in Charleston. Just stand with me and just in this quiet attitude of understanding, now is the time to make some choices. Am I going to choose to follow him or am I going to choose to continue to do it my way? I believe when we give our lives over to God, and I believe when you begin to develop these healthy habits every day to honor him, I believe you're going to have the best year ever. I believe it in all my heart. When we honor him and follow him, God has got the best for us, and it's in front of us. All we have to do is embrace that and walk in that. In all locations, let's pray. Let's pray for those things. God, you know us. You know us well inside and out. You know if you need to lead us to more rest. You know, Lord, if we need greener meadows and more water and streams and just healthy living and a healthy place to go. God, you know what we need today. Help us to walk in your path. Help us to surrender to you. Help us to understand it's about our mission. It's about our purpose on this planet. It's about my life affecting someone else's life. Help me, God, to realize it's not my body anymore. It's yours, God. I surrender all to you. Your Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I'm a temple. You dwell inside of me, God. Help me understand that. And Lord, make a way for me to move forward. Make a way for me to make better choices. Make a way that today, God, I can live for you. And God, I can make some choices that won't just affect today, that it'll have a greater outcome. And it'll actually affect generations to come. My kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids. Help me, God, to live with my mission in mind. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's worship together as we close this morning.